It's us.
Hi.
We're the podcasters.
It's us. Welcome to our podcast. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sam.
We're the Sibs. And you're listening to Swift and Swigs with Sibs.
That's right. This is the podcast where a brother and a sister discuss two of their favorite things, Taylor Swift and cocktails.
Every episode, we will choose a song from Taylor Swift's 200-plus song catalog. We'll each pair a cocktail with that song, and then we will break down our favorite musical mixology moments. Hey, Sam, are we ready for it?
I think we are. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. This is Swift and Swigs with Sibs, and what a fun episode we're about to dive into, Rachel. It is you and me. That is sometimes our whole world. But we also have a very exciting and special guest on today's episode.
We sure do.
And this came to me as a bit of a surprise that said guest wanted to be on here, but we'll get into that very shortly. Until then, let me just introduce who is in the studio with me today, Rachel. This is my one and only dear friend of many years. We don't need to count all of them.
Don't age yourself, Sam.
My friend Natalie. Say hi, Natalie.
Hello, everyone.
Woo-hoo.
Happy to be here.
Hi, Natalie.
We're happy you're here, too. We're happy you're here. I just want to say, you know, I talked about how I went to Japan recently, and what I didn't really go into detail about on the podcast was that it was a ski trip with this friend Natalie. And one thing that happened, I guess I realized that you used to listen to Taylor Swift, and I don't think I ever knew that about you, Natalie, because you know that I'm a Swiftie.
This is a shocking revelation.
It was shocking. Rachel, it was when I was like working on the what's the song? You should have said no episode.
Okay.
I was working on that on my computer. I was working on the editing, and she could hear it through my headphones. She could hear like a sound clip that I'd included. And she started singing along to it. And then that song kind of became a bit of a soundtrack for the rest of the trip, along with many other songs. We'll get into that. But anyways, why don't you, we always like to ask our guests, Natalie, first and foremost, what your story, your relationship is with Taylor Swift, when did you become a fan, etc., and kind of like, how does that get you to here today?
Yeah, well, it sounds like, from my understanding, that I'm more the opposite of at least your journey, back in high school, we don't have to talk about exact years, but, I was a country fan. I grew up in small town Illinois, out in the cornfields, and we all listened to country music. And, you know, all of a sudden there was this new album that was, I feel like there was some criticism at the time of like, is it too poppy to be true country? I don't remember if I like fully bought in at first, but then somehow I consumed that. I know you call it debut. It's self-titled. It's called Taylor Swift.
Self-titled.
We talked about
this.
Fair.
I
heard you talking about it on
the
podcast.
So you reference it as the self-titled album.
I say self-titled.
You're just like Taylor.
I mean, because I'm her original fan.
Yeah, right. OG.
We fall to you. We will look to you to be our guide. You are a grandma Swiftie.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
Wait, what was your gateway song?
Yeah, I was going to ask that too.
Ooh, so I distinctly remember so many from that album. Tim McGraw is a big one that I recall.
Because you were listening to country radio.
Yes.
So you were probably introduced to the songs that made it on country radio. I was listening
singles.
To pop radio.
Yeah.
So the singles. Yeah. And I didn't hear anything except for our song. That made it on the pop radio.
Yes.
But you probably heard Tim McGraw.
Teardrops on My Guitar. So that was a big one. I remember at some point. So then that was kind of end of high school, going into first year college. I was still listening to country music. There were a group of girls in our first year of college that we all kind of had our song from that album because we all had some sort of boy problem that we could match with the exact song.
As she does best, she speaks to young girls.
I love this.
I'm pretty sure
mine. What was your song?
Mine was "Picture a Bird."
Oh.
But yeah, I looked this up because it was July 16th, 2008, I went to Country Thunder in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, and the lineup that night was Carrie Underwood, Joe Nichols, Lady A, and Taylor Swift.
Whoa. So you've seen Taylor live.
I have, and then I found some pictures.
That would have been, I went. Oh my gosh.
You did it. Ridiculous.
Wait, of her?
No, not
with Taylor. this is Natalie and her friends.
Really gross.
In 2003, unbearable.
No, 2008.
I was quoting it to this song.
Oh.
2003, unbearable. Did you see the photos? No, I didn't, but thanks though.
But anyways, so yeah, I have really fond memories of that album and just playing it on repeat. And then I just started listening to different stuff. Yeah. I fell out of country love for one, and then also she went a different route too. I was never really into the pop scene post Backstreet Boys.
But did you even listen to Fearless or Red or Speak Now, or did you just stop at debut?
Self-titled.
Self-titled. Yeah, pretty much. I know some of the songs that are hits that. Yeah. I always joke I live under a rock, but it's, she's out there enough, it's impossible not to know some. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I ever intentionally consumed beyond self-titled. Well, so I am a Grammy Swift.
Wow, I love this.
And what we need to keep into perspective is, of the time, now this was, obviously 2008 is the year that you just referenced. Is when you saw her. This was before streaming. So if you didn't own a physical copy of music, you weren't going to be listening to it. You had no option to be able to listen to it, right?
Right.
Now, it's so easy to stream any artist at any time. So if you're curious about an artist, just go through their entire discography. But you needed somebody to physically, share that music with you if you weren't illegally downloading it. Mm. Or you needed to go out and buy the CD, right? So it's probably easier for someone of that time to just kind of not know the rest of the discography since you just didn't physically own it, right?
Yeah.
So just want to keep that's on your defense.
Thanks.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with it because I too listened to country music for a little bit and then just fell way off for years and years and years. But I just think it's really unique that you have that self-titled, you were there in the OG. Mm-hmm. And it's like you've preserved 2008 Taylor in your
ice.
Heart.
She's in a glacier. Ice.
And it's like it's like you said, it's like the opposite experience. Like I literally had to go back and rediscover her life backwards. But you got her in this frozen little I love it.
Yeah, and I've listened to some episodes of your podcast, and there's songs that have come up. I mean, I've never heard of.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this kind of sounds good. But yeah, anything beyond self-titled that wasn't a major hit is way over my head.
Yeah.
And then I did, this is also years ago, probably when it came out on Netflix, I did watch Miss Americana. I haven't watched it since. My memory's horrible. Can't tell you a lot about it. But I do remember thinking, I think before watching that, I was just kind of, I didn't really have an opinion, but almost, I kind of put Taylor Swift in the category of other super big celebrities where I'm like, they must have problems, something, And watching that gave me a lot of respect for her. And then knowing, hearing Sam talk about her all the time, I'll say.
All the time. All the time.
Traveling. It's true. To, 9-hour plane ride. There's not much going on. Just kidding.
Turns out I talk about Taylor Swift outside of this podcast, Rachel. Which leads me to my next question. Why? Because this was your idea to come on the podcast.
Yes.
So, I mean, why I guess.
why is someone who knows next to nothing about Taylor Swift and even less about cocktails on a podcast about Taylor Swift and cocktails?
You already know more than our sister Emily. So
oh, true.
About which one?
Did you listen to the episode where Emily was on?
Yeah.
Yeah,
hi, Emily.
She doesn't know
listen,
anything.
So she didn't hear me say hi.
But she is she is adept at cocktails. Yeah,
it's like if a tree falls in a forest and there is no one around to hear it. If we say hi to Emily on our podcast, is she even going to hear
it's
it?
It's gone into the ether.
So why am I here? Why I'm here, and it'll also relate to this song, is because Sam is a dear, dear friend of mine, and I want to support anything he does.
Thank you.
And I am an OG Swiftie. I get to qualify for
absolutely
a sliver of
you
it.
Deserve to be here.
And I have respect for her. That's why I, I get it. I feel like there's respect.
And you have seen her in concert.
Yeah. And I
just
do feel great affinity to these songs.
But no, I think you sort of just reached out to me, mm-hmm, like after we got back from Japan, I think. Mm-hmm. And you, I didn't know if you were joking or not, but you were just like, I think I want to be on your podcast. And
I love it.
And I said, that sounds great. Choose a song, and you chose a song, and
basically, like everything in my life, in Sam's life, I invited myself here.
Yeah, she invited herself.
And then I said, I'm driving for the next 11 hours, which Taylor Swift song should I listen to on repeat?
Oh, you did ask me that, and I said,
what was your answer?
I told her, my two favorite albums are Reputation and Folklore, so I said, listen to anything from that. And then you said you ended up just listening to our podcast,
well,
I think.
I was, yeah. And then I think you were the one who said, if you're going to be on our podcast, it had to be this album, because I think you don't want me talking about
newer stuff. Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm in the time capsule. I'm still
right, right.
Stay there. I love it.
That, thank you for sharing your Swiftie story. Get out of the time capsule a little bit. Well, actually, get out of it for now, and then you can go back into the time capsule if you want. Because what we're going to do now is talk about our new shit.
I'm doing good, I'm on some new shit.
This is the segment where we like to talk about music that we're listening to as of late, whether it's new releases, old releases, Taylor Swift, etc., etc. Natalie, how about you go first? Are you doing good and on some new shit?
Oh, always, Sam.
Great.
I mean, we did get to share a lot of music in Japan.
Yeah, luckily you brought a speaker.
And
we got to vibe a lot. That was great.
And something, so I will say, yes, not new to me, but new to me is the Spotify DJ mode.
Yes.
I don't know what that's called.
Yes.
You mean like the day lists?
Not the
those are my
discovery.
Favorite.
It's like the DJ. Have you ever used that, Rachel?
AI.
No. So tell me more.
Well, you should check it out because my Sib, shout out Ryan Magnus. That's
hi,
what
Ryan.
That's what I know podcasters do. They say shout out and then they say hey.
Shout out.
Shout out, Ryan.
You know the lingo.
Is he going to be listening?
I hope so.
Shout out, Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
He got it set up for me. It's this AI computer that talks to you, but it's basically making a mix of your songs. It'll give you new things. And it threw at me, here's the tunes that you were listening on repeat in 2016. And I was like,
whoa.
And so I was wondering, I was like, and the very first one that came on that then I've just been diving. It was one of those that you completely forget. Like, mm-hmm, I never would have just picked up the song again. Thank goodness for, this is the only benefit of AI that I've yet to see. But it's Bloom by I Am Karate. Like just under 2 minutes in, it gets there's a nice piano in the beginning, but then it gets real kind of
Rachel loves a song that like changes on you.
I love it. Yeah. I love a beat drop, a tune change. I love it.
Yeah, so apparently I consumed it a lot when it came out, and then I forgot about it completely because I just went into another time capsule, and now it's come back to my life.
I'm gonna have to use my DJ AI DJ on Spotify more often. You're not the first that's told me they've used it and liked it. Cool. Rachel, you go.
All right. I'll take us back a little bit, but then move us forward.
Okay.
So I mentioned in our last pod, Sam, that I am going to Texas in a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to Austin specifically, and Natalie, I don't know if you remember this. We lived in,
yeah,
my family lived in Austin for like 4 years. We heard a bunch of great artists then. This is when I got into, this is why I didn't know Taylor Swift, because I was into like alternative. She had not hit alternative radio stations yet. But the first, Austin, we saw a ton of live music in Austin, and it was so fun.
That's
and cool. A lot of local artists too, because you just go to a bar and there'd be something free. So we went to a free outdoor music concert one of the first weekends we were there. Might have been like the first couple of days we were there. And people were losing their mind over this artist. I didn't know anything about him, but he was a local favorite, and he still is. This guy's name is Bob Schneider, okay?
Sounds like an NPR host.
Yes.
Is he?
No. So this guy's like, I mean, he's been around for a long time.
Okay.
And he kind of crosses everywhere from like rock to like funk to this new album. There's a little bit of country, there's a little bit of folksy, but then this new album, and I say new, it's actually 2018. He's got a bunch of different new music, but I fell into this particular album. The title got me, In a Room Full of Blood with a Sleeping Tiger. Okay? That's kind of...
Whoa.
That's a mouthful, right? But I just was like, gosh, I haven't listened to Bob Schneider in so long. I'm going to press play. I'm going to see.
I can't take it seriously with that name.
Sounds like you're talking about her grandfather.
All right. I press play, and Sam, the reason I'm bringing this up is this guy sounds a lot. I think his music changes, but in this particular album, I thought he sounded a lot like John Mayer. Okay.
Ooh.
Did you know I love John Mayer?
I've heard
an idea. Uh-huh.
Okay, now I'm way more intrigued by this Bob Schneider fella.
So Bob Schneider has like John Mayer. His songwriting is really, really cool. There are a lot of great songs on this particular album. I'm calling up one because it's so fun. The song is called Thor. It's all about, basically, Thor is the god of thunder,
mm-hmm,
but also he works for Bank of America and he lives in Milwaukee.
Ooh, shout out.
I love that.
And he's a Packer fan.
Of course he is.
Thor likes the Green Bay Packers. They're his own team. He's an owner too. And one day...
I want you to listen because it doesn't sound like a parody of a song. Like, the song itself actually sounds like a really good song. And then you hear these words and you're like, wait, what is he saying? He's basically like, a man can change. Like, he can be more than one thing. Like, maybe he's the god of thunder, but also he can be like a sensitive guy and he can change. I guess he gets like, in part of the song, he gets into a fender bender and he like starts to lose, he gets frustrated and then he like calms himself down. Right. So anyway,
I can't wait to
hear
this.
Song. It's a fun album. Give it a listen.
Okay. Well, all
right.
Bob Schneider.
That's the new shit. What about you? Are you listening to a Bob or a Joe or a Carol?
Okay. So the new shit that I'm listening to has really coincidental timing because before I went to a trip to Japan, have I mentioned that I was in Japan? It was the weekend before that I was working and I had a random playlist on playing at work and a song came on that I was really intrigued by it. It made me like stop shaking cocktails for a second to look to see who was playing. And then we go to Japan. Did I mention I was in Japan? But anyways, the artist is Gone Beyond. And it was funny timing because I had just made fresh. I hadn't even like delved into any of their music yet. I just remember the name. And then Natalie, you played a song and you're like, oh, I love this band. And I'm going to go see them.
Oh,
except
my gosh.
You didn't. So so the band, and I kind of want your help and maybe helping because you've listened to more of them than I have. So to classify the sound of them, I guess it's sort of like folk music, but meets electronic in a way.
Yeah, what I love about them, so the song Coast is the first song of theirs.
And that's the song I was going to choose, Coast, yes.
So good.
Yes.
Definitely need to consume that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so I listened to that, got excited, saw they were coming to a town near me, and started listening to some other songs. I was like, wait, I've heard some of these before, but I didn't even associate it as the same group.
Mm.
They're And that's something I think is really cool about them, is they sound very different.
Mm. They're very different.
I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
But Coast is a great song. It starts off, there's like banjo and other folk instruments going on. But like we talked about earlier, then a beat drops and it gets sort of like, I don't know. It's not really techno. It's poppy, electronic-y. I don't know. It's combining a lot of genres that I love. So I'm gonna coast for a little while.
Love it.
It's great. Gone, Gone, Beyond, Song Coast.
Love it, love it.
Woo! Okay, now let's move on. Natalie, you, as the special guest for this episode today, got to choose which song we were going to discuss, and I was very excited to hear which one you would say. Tell us which song you've chosen for the podcast this week.
The song is Only Me When I'm With You. I'm only me when I'm with you. Well, why I chose it is because I'm stuck in 2006. and because, well, we'll dive into a couple meanings, I think, of it. But it just is so much, I think, heart and soul and joy and about people who mean a lot to someone. And I think there's a big friendship theme. Mm-hmm. And you're my good friend.
Aww.
And I just learned that it's my brother's favorite Taylor Swift song.
Whoa! Shout out Ryan again.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love this song too. It's one of my favorites off of the self-titled album. So I'm excited to get into it. But in order to get into it, you guys, we need to be swigging on some drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
And I want to go first. Can I? Is that all right with everybody?
Go for it, Sam. Okay. We usually let our guests go first.
No.
And usually
not gonna
we
happen.
Let ladies go first, but that's obviously not happening.
Not gonna happen.
Okay. All right.
The only beautiful thing about this is the glass.
Yeah.
It's just a brown, somewhat foamy on top cocktail because.
Yeah. I mean, I'm thirsty, so it sounds good.
So my cocktail is like I took the words, I'm only me when I'm with you. I'm using it as like a love letter to my favorite type of alcohol, which is beer. And so I'm only me when I'm with brew is what I'm going to be calling this. So I made a beer cocktail, which I haven't done in many moons. And this one I took inspiration from a cocktail called Ruby Hearts. And the Ruby Hearts is a cocktail that was invented at The Publican in Chicago. Rachel, have you been to The Publican in the West Loop?
Sure have.
Okay, so there's a bartender there that created this cocktail, I don't know, years ago or whatever, called Ruby Hearts. And this is a riff off of that. What's in my cocktail is American single malt whiskey because, like I did with other beer cocktails, the single malt whiskey is made with barley, just like a beer. So that's my liquor base. And then I added Aperol and lime juice and that beer syrup that Aunt Trish gave me a long time ago. It's been in the fridge waiting for me to use it. It's still fine. And I think that's everything. Oh, so then I shake all those ingredients together, pour in a glass, and then I top it off with, of course, a beer, right? I used Oscar Blues Brewery Old Chub, which is a Scotch ale, because... Scotch, like American single malt whiskey, is a barley whiskey. So there's all a theme there. Now, the original cocktail, Ruby Hearts, is actually a mezcal cocktail. And they use Campari, not Aperol. And they use a cinnamon syrup, not beer syrup. So it's very different. But this is my interpretation of that. I just wanted it to be beery. And it's quite delicious. So cheers. I'm only me when I'm with brew.
Cute.
Love the pun.
All right, I'll let you go, Natalie.
That's delicious.
Okay, well, at the ripe young age of 34, I learned to make a cocktail.
Yes!
Yay!
So what I have here, well, what I'm calling my cocktail is Fernet Beneath the Stars.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
I'm excited to get into this one.
A little shout out to the first line of the song we're going to dive into.
Okay. Friday night beneath.
This is Fernet Branca, which I love how Sam just went into describing. This is where we definitely split in life, because a dear person was calling around local liquor stores in Fort Collins to see if someone had Fernet, and then was asking, they're like, what is it? And I'm like,
I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
Fernet is a digestive that is made in Italy. Am I stealing your notes from you?
No, you're great. Keep going.
But very, very often commonly consumed in Argentina, which, we haven't mentioned this, is where Natalie and I first met. And where we first became friends was during our time in Argentina. Lots of Fernet.
Love the callback.
We drank a lot of Fernet con Coca, which is probably what this would be referred to if it wasn't Fernet Beneath the Stars. A lot of nights beneath the stars with Fernet and Quilmes and friendship. This one, I've matured a little bit, so this has lime and some mint and a nice garnish, and I learned how to shake and 20 seconds and ice cubes, not crushed. I learned a lot of things just before we got going here.
Now, it sounded like you said cement, but I just want to clarify. You said some mint?
Some mint. Okay, I heard.
Okay, just clarify there.
There's no cement. Yes, I did look up more about my drink, because it is referred to as an Argentinian drink that got started specifically in Córdoba. Did you know that? I don't know.
No.
In the early 1980s. And some other fun things to know, it can cure a hangover. Or like, it doesn't cause a hangover.
Okay, I beg to differ on that.
Interesting.
And of the Fernet that is consumed in the world, yes, 75% is consumed in Argentina. So a big shout out.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah.
And 69% of the 75% was consumed by Natalie and I in 2009, when we were down there. Did you bring this? Is this your cocktail because it reminds you of our friendship?
Yeah, so I...
That's so sweet.
When I chose this song and knew when we made this plan, I was like, I need something that like goes together like peanut butter and jelly or like macaroni and cheese. And I was like, the first thing was like Fernet and Coke.
Fernet and Coke.
If you spent any time in Argentina, you know the two things that go together, like two peas in a pod, are Fernet and Coke.
Wow.
So, and then I also, you know, thinking the meaning of the song Friendship, and I was like, oh, that's so perfect, because I've had so many wonderful friendships.
Oh my God.
Fernet and Coke.
Cheers.
Fernet.
All right, Rachel, your turn. What do you got?
I'm going to take it on. Yeah, so maybe similar with what you were talking about, Natalie. You know what I was drawn to was the line, you drive me crazy half the time.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking of half and half.
Oh.
And what's a cocktail that's half and half? Now, Sam, you have made a 50-50 martini.
Oh, I think you meant like half and half as in like the creamer.
No, not like the creamer, but like a cocktail that's exactly
equal
50-50
parts.
Or equal parts, gotcha. Half and half, half something, half another thing. So the most common is the 50-50 martini,
which
you've done before for Hey Steven, I think. So I wanted to do something that was a little different. And I found a list of like other types of liquors, liqueurs that people are known to like combine together 50-50 for a cocktail. And so there's a well-known cocktail that was actually created in the 1800s. This is the second week in a row.
Yeah.
Recently. Made a classic cocktail. This one's called Adonis. And it was created after, I guess there's a musical called Adonis, and it's the longest running for like 500 shows.
Never heard
blah,
of
blah,
this.
Blah, 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 blah.
Like a Greek goddess, which...
Yes.
Like Thor, yes. Where there's a theme.
Exactly.
A
there's a
Maybe
theme going on
the stars
here.
Stars in the sky?
Yes. Okay.
Totally planned that.
So this is... half sherry, half vermouth.
Ooh. Okay. Sweet or dry?
Now, so this is what's interesting, because sherry itself can either be sweet or dry.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So can vermouth.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So you pick which one you want. If you're going to go with the sweeter sherry, you go with a dry vermouth.
Gotcha.
If you're going to go with the drier sherry, you go with a sweeter vermouth. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I have a drier sherry and a sweeter vermouth. I would be curious to try it with a sweeter sherry and a drier vermouth.
Okay.
But anyway, this is what I have. Just a little bit of bitters, so that does change it up a little bit. But what you won't, I don't know if you can see my glasses. I'm going to have to do like a better reveal later. One glass says, me, says me, one glass says you.
Yes, I know these glasses.
So I'm only me when I'm...
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't know.
Okay,
this was
so
a
that
show.
Was cute. No, thank you for that. Thank you for that.
For everybody who's for listening and not watching,
right, not
which
watching.
Is the world, Rachel just poured the me into the you, in case that wasn't
very
clear.
Cute.
Aw, I love
that.
Okay, but that's not. I what have to tell you what I'm calling it because you know me. I'm like I love a pun, so I'm very proud of this one. This is called. Drive me sherry half the time. The other half, I'm only trying to let you know that what I feel is vermouth.
Okay.
That's a huge mouthful.
Rachel, you realize I have to type this out?
Yes, I know. Oh, I mean, you could call it half the time. Well, you drive me crazy
half the time. So how does it taste?
Ooh, it's really delicious. It's like nutty and herbal. Mm. So, and I really love, I've been drinking a lot of sherry lately. I'm just really into sherry. So, yeah, it's really interesting. I really like it.
A lot of herbals.
Cheers to that. Cheers to herbs. So many cocktails.
Cheers, clink, clink, everybody.
Kanpai.
Kanpai. Where did you learn that?
Oh, I learned it in Japan.
Oh, you were in Japan?
I also went to Japan.
Stop it.
And Argentina.
Rachel is leaving the chat, literally.
No, don't go anywhere. We have a lot to discuss, Rachel.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it took us an hour just to get through our cocktails. Okay, so let's get into the song.
Yes.
I'm Only Me When I'm With You. Mm-hmm. What we will be doing, Natalie, it sounds like you are familiar with the structure of our podcast, unlike our sister. Yeah, you have notes. I love to see it.
Spirit. Mixology. I have categories.
Yes, those are the categories.
Yes,
yes we have three categories. We're going to start with the spirit of the song, where we discuss the theme of the song and the message, right? Mm-hmm. Then we're going to do the musical mixology, where we talk about the musical structure of the song. And then Taylor with a twist, where we talk about the lyrics. Now, do you know why we call it those things?
I think that has to do with cocktails.
Uh-huh, sure does.
Aw, good job.
Now, we always let the guest go first in discussing... what is the spirit of the song? So, do you have some notes you'd like to share with us?
Do I have some notes? Thoughts? I work in academia.
Yes, you
do.
Show.
I did my
love own. It.
I do. And this is an interesting one because I teach psychology. And even the title, I'm Only Me When I'm With You, like all of this kind of is that kind of cringy codependency things that I would throw up some red flags about.
Hmm.
However, I was talking to shout out Ryan Magnus that I was going to do this, and he said, oh, that song's like about her mom and friends, and we watched the music video together.
Right.
And then I started deep diving into that, and so then I came away with a very different spirit, and I see this spirit... I mean, friendship kind of being an overarching umbrella, but other words I wrote down were gratitude, love, authenticity, joy, pure, happy, and fun.
Those are great. Great.
I love that. I'm going to add one more to that list, and I'll get further into it. And the one I want to include is knowing or being known. The way that this song talks about the importance of being known... and being understood and then knowing other people. So, well, as we get into the lyrics, we can talk more about that. But I thought it was such an interesting concept. And I, too, agree. Like, the transition of just seeing... I think that's really important for us to make sure when we're trying to understand what is Taylor Swift trying to tell us, that we can learn a lot from the ways she introduces the song, but also the ways that she presents the song in lyric videos, the way that she presents the song in music videos. Like, all those things are communication, and it's important to include them, but it's also an okay thing to be like, yeah, but I relate to this song in a totally different way, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. So I want to say one more thing, though, and mm-hmm. I don't know if this has come up in your research. Taylor Swift had a friend named Jeff Lang that she was friends with, and he passed away from a drug overdose.
Oh, this is the and Forever Winter.
She wrote a friend. Song for him called Forever Winter, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm. But she sang I'm Only Me When I'm With You at his funeral.
Oh, oh wow.
I give a lot and more chills as you say that.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
That gives a lot more meaning to this song.
Yeah.
Like, for me, knowing that it means that to her.
The other thing I think it's important to note, and this will help us transition into the musical mixology, she recorded this song in January 2004.
Right. Yeah.
Do the math.
Yeah.
She was barely 14.
Yeah, she wrote it in 2003, I think, is what I read.
Yes!
So mm-hmm. recorded it, yeah, the next year. So
barely, 13. I mean, 13 going on 14.
It is really impressive, though, that yeah, she not only did she write it when she was 13, 14, but it's also interesting because this album didn't come out until 2006.
This was the opening track on her demo album. This was song number one.
Which she was, like, taking to all the record producers.
Yes.
Wow. So this was
the leading song she chose.
So she probably didn't have many songs. This is probably one of the few songs that she'd ever written. Okay.
There were, like, eight or so on that list. And a bunch of them we haven't seen since.
Mm-hmm. Maybe in the vault.
And also, Tim McGraw wasn't on it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Or Our Song. Yeah.
Which are some of the best songs that I think on the album. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
That choice.
Musically, otherwise, do you have a lot of notes on the music?
On the music, well, the only really notes I have on the music was there were some key, since this was a time in my life when country mattered to me. And I do recall some criticism of Taylor Swift coming out because it was a little less country, a little more pop country as mm-hmm. opposed to the super twang country. So I think that like twang of the slide guitar we hear a bit throughout, I'm like, ooh, that really solidifies it. There was just a few things throughout this song I'm like, oh, she's holding on to those country roots.
Mm.
That's what it's fun and it's upbeat and it has yeah. the pop, but there's still that original where she came from feeling. Yeah.
It is so upbeat. It's one of, like, I think half the album is of this similar tempo and upbeat vibe. And we've discussed a lot of them so far. Picture to Burn is that way. Our Song is that way. Should have said no is that way. We also discussed Mary's Song, which is not quite upbeat.
That's
this is, I think, the fifth song we've talked about on this album now, and it's one of those upbeat ones. And I feel like half of the album is like that, and the other half is a little bit more slow country. But these upbeat songs is where you hear that Taylor Swift has always been a bit pop influenced.
That's interesting. I thought the beginning of this song sounded a lot like an Avril Lavigne song. Ooh. Like, it definitely has that early aughts punk girl, skater boy.
Yes. Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, just like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, totally.
And the thing that separates, that then turns it into a country song is that slide guitar, that banjo mm-hmm. that you were talking about.
So there's banjo, like, there's violin that comes in.
Yeah. With you. It is definitely more poppy than like, it definitely has that early aughts influence of that, like, punk rock music.
Yeah, it's not quite your, like, twangy, honky-tonky country.
True, which of the late 90s and early 2000s. Going back to July 16th, 2008, because that, in that lineup is also Carrie Underwood, Lady A.
Yes.
Joe Nichols is kind of separate, but yeah, they all kind of have that going on. Like, that was, I think the...
Like the country pop thing?
Yeah, that the was genre the sound. Was ready for a little rock, a little upbeat, a little pop.
I think, I mean, that's, and that's, we have to, we can't exclude the notion, like the time period when this came out. And she was still influenced, while she was influenced by a lot of country music, she's still a teenager influenced by the music around her. And I think that's always important to see that in the time that it was created.
Oh, yeah. 2003, to be exact, /2004. Yeah.
Sam, you want to do some reading?
Ooh, I would love to. So let's get into Taylor with a Twist. Let's talk about these lyrics. Friday night beneath the stars, in a field behind your yard, you and I are painting pictures in the sky. Sometimes we don't say a thing, just listen to the crickets sing. Everything I need is right here by my side. That's probably the part when you were like, this is kind of cringy and cheesy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it. I will say, initially, I was thinking, before I saw the music video, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to come on here and destroy your podcast because I'm going to do a like psychological analysis of how...
We do that.
How...
No, do it. Wreck it.
Is, or yes. Unhealthy.
No, we're honest.
Totally.
We're honest.
Totally.
But everything changes when I look at it through a friendship lens. That's the difference.
So tell me why...
I mean, this is a big reason that I connect with this song is because high school Natalie did not have herself figured out. And that absolutely impacted, I think, my depth of friendships or how I made friendships or what that was like. And then I entered college. I went to this beautiful place called La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Woo-woo!
I met Jenny Wysocki. Shout out, Jenny.
Shout out, Jenny.
BFF Jenny.
Shout out!
Whose birthday is July 9th, which is like National Taylor Swift Day. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
I told Jenny that by once, July and she's 9th? Like, yeah, I don't care.
I was going to say.
Anyways, hi, Jenny.
And yeah, that was the first, it like clicked for me that I was like, oh, you can be friends with people, kind of that they see you for who you are. Like, it just works, and you can be yourself truly who you are and know who you are. Mm. And I feel like of my era of figuring that out, I still am dear, bestest of friends with Jenny and with you, Sam. You're like, and so to me, that's also, a big part of why this song matters to me when I look through that lens.
Yeah, you're right. To look at it through that lens is a lot less cringy than if she were singing about a boy,
Yeah.
Because I don't think you... feel like you're yourself when you're 14 and you're dating somebody.
You're the opposite.
You're trying to fit in into the framework of what you think they want because you haven't learned yet that being yourself is the best way to be, right?
I feel the same way. I was cringy for her. Like, I want to say to my daughter specifically, I mean, I always think about her as she grows. She's 11 now, almost 12, and I think about these things that I want her to know, and I'm like, particularly in a love relationship, I don't want her to go into that relationship unless she really feels like she's known and she understands herself. But there is something that's happening developmentally for children this age as teenagers, where you're learning about yourself based on the people that you surround yourself with. Like, that's part of the process.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And shifting and changing with other people is part of exploring, like, do I like this phase? No, I don't. I'm not really sure. And Taylor Swift herself was still doing that. I mean, even into, like, the 1989 era, like, you can hear it in her music and the ways that she was still trying to understand and process herself via what other people were thinking about and saying about her.
And I think we're always growing and learning about ourselves, but that growing and learning and that pubescent time frame is so extreme. And
yeah, it's so dramatic.
Yes. And I think of the lyrics we just talked about, when you said, sometimes we don't say a thing, I think that's such a key thing when you find, whether it's romantic or friendship, but there's that understanding of each other without having to verbalize it.
Yeah.
At any stage of life, that's very beautiful.
Totally.
Okay, so...
And then we dive into the
This part is the part about, like, the knowing. This is when it was, like, talking, I know everything about you. I don't want to live about you without you. And this is what I just wanted to bring up. What's interesting is if you compare this song to other songs on the album, there's a lot of times on the album where she talks about not knowing or not believing what somebody says. So, Stay Beautiful is about, I don't think they know how beautiful they are. And I'm not going to get into the full details of some of these songs because we haven't
gone there yet.
But
we probably will.
I just think there's even like, should have said no, you should have known and you didn't know. So there's a lot of like not knowing and not being myself in these relationships or not trusting who I am in these relationships or who you are. Whereas this is a solid, like, that's what makes this work. Like, the knowing and the being known.
Hmm.
And if you know everything about someone, that means you know their vulnerabilities, you know their flaws, you know their mistakes. Because all of us are human and we all have downfalls and beautiful, positive things about us. But to say you know I know everything about you, you're good and you're bad, and I don't want to live a day without you.
Yeah.
That's such a strong, beautiful
That's powerful. Word. That's powerful. And I know everything about you. I
don't want to live without you. Let's get into the chorus. Yes. My gosh. All right. Guys, this is a very simple song. We have chatted a
whole That's what happens when you bring a psych professor on.
I know. Thank you.
Who's never had a cocktail in her life and she takes two sips.
10,000 people.
Oh, I love it. Okay.
I'm only up when you're not down. Don't want to fly if you're still on the ground. It's like no matter what I do. Well, you drive me crazy half the time.
Cheers.
Clink, clink. I'm not done yet. My
right. It's the whole thing.
Keeps going. The other half, I'm only trying to let you know what I feel is true. Okay, now clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
And I'm only me when I'm with you. And I'm only me when I'm with you.
Do you guys have any thoughts you want to go into?
Well, if I'm going back to when I thought this was only potentially about a boy, I was like, the one thing that saves this is, well, you drive me crazy.
Yeah.
Half the time. I'm like, okay, at least we can acknowledge.
Yes, at least know half the time.
I mean, I love that line for that reason, whether it's about a romantic partner, a friendship, or a family member, because it's so real. Like, this whole song, it's like about the cheesiness of how relaxed it is and I'm so comfortable being around you, but the line "you drive me crazy half the time" is the most real thing that any of us can ever experience, because the people that we love the most drive us crazy half the time. Not all the time, because if it was all the time then you wouldn't be with them, but half the time they drive you crazy. That's anybody, that's any friendship, any relationship you have. You know, crazy is a strong word to use, but it could mean simple things like you annoy me, you fluster me, we disagree on some things, but that's half of the time, not all of the time.
You're going to the bathroom right before the train gets there.
And you make us late for the train, but somehow we still make it. Yeah.
I'm not going on a trip with you, Sam.
No, that was her. Oh, thank you.
That was absolutely
no. I am the type. Right, Sam, I am the type A person in that scenario.
Yeah, I think we are good traveler. You and I, Sam, would be great travelers together. Okay.
But yeah, I think. I mean, I don't know if you two can speak to this, but I also think of this. You mentioned family relationships as siblings.
Yes.
We drive each other crazy.
Yeah,
for sure. But only half the time.
Yeah, I have always considered my brother absolutely. I feel very fortunate to say like we've been best friends for, I think, much longer than maybe a normal sibling relationship goes, but I'm sure we drive, especially growing up, and probably as adults too.
Yeah.
But you're only, I'm only me when I'm with you. That's still that sibling, a sibling bond is a super unique friendship.
There's nothing like it.
you could dive into this because your podcast is also about siblings.
Yes.
It really is.
There is some great research out there about that specific relationship because it's so unique. You know, there's a saying about how parents leave our lives, you know, we're too young, children come into them too late, but it's your siblings who are there. It's like, you know, cradle to grave. So
love you, sis.
Love you. Aww.
Can I sip on your cocktail?
Yeah.
Because I'm out.
All right.
The next lyric gave me Crazy Journey vibes.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, it's like 100.
Straight out of their songbook.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just a small town boy and girl living in the crazy world, trying to figure out what is and isn't true. And I don't try.
I'm sorry. I just want to correct you real quick. It's Trina.
Trina.
That word is Trina. That you pronounce it Trina.
That's how Taylor pronounces it.
Trina figure out.
Trina figure out. I love that. Trina figure out what
is and isn't true. This is Taylor's era of like smooshing words together.
Smooshes a lot. Yes.
She does this a lot.
And also, what is and isn't true? There's like, that's that little country.
You get a little growl.
So, but this is the line that obviously makes it seem more about a boy and a girl, like a heterosexual teenage relationship. But it's also the line, I did date somebody all through high school. And I could, like a boy and a girl in a small town trying to figure out what's going on in the world. I'm like, absolutely. That rings true to that time in my life.
Rachel and I are also from a small town. Mm-hmm. Just trying to figure out what is and isn't true. Well, in a way, because like you hear things in a small town, but you don't know if it's true or not, because the small town life is all about hearsay and gossip and, you know, mouth to mouth. I meant to say word of mouth.
About making out. You have to learn how to kiss. That's so part of it.
But what is it exactly that she's trying to convey with this verse? Like, so, I mean, she's singing about...
That she listens to Journey. That's all I get.
She's just borrowing
that's
from
all
Journey.
I get.
Okay, second half of this verse. And I don't try to hide my tears, my secrets, or my deepest fears. Through it all, nobody gets me like you do.
This is my favorite part of the song.
Is what I just read?
It's one of my
or what we're about to get into? What I just
read?
No, what
you just read.
Oh, I should have let you read it.
I think it's one of my
favorite. No, you should read it.
I felt like this was a nod to her fans. Sweet Sam and I will
talk about... She didn't have fans when she wrote the song.
Well...
I mean, she does this in later albums, for sure.
She does... Well, I'm not saying that she necessarily wrote it for her fans. I'm saying... It could be perceived. Like, if you wanted a new perspective on it. And this is one of the examples of song. I say that only because I think that she's making it known that that is important to her. Like, when she feels... This is why we feel... Like, this is why I think she's so grateful for her fans. Because she feels like she can... She doesn't have to hide her tears. She can tell her deepest secrets. She can talk about her fears. And that's... Like, she equates us as being... a friend, like a really good friend and nobody gets her like we do. And mm-hmm. I really think that like she feels that way. All right.
Another chorus.
This
changes.
Yes.
This is the twist.
Natalie, read us the twist.
And you know everything about me. You say that you can't live without me, which is the opposite of what we heard before. And this is where I feel like I'm coming in real hot. This seems like a Taylor Swift thing to do, to take a line she said once.
Yeah.
And then do basically the same line.
She changes it.
But opposite.
Same vibe, same thought
process.
Are you
so proud of me?
I'm very proud
of you. I'm so proud of you.
You're such an OG.
But that's, and that's exactly it.
Yes.
That's the twist where she flips it. And it's just a couple words. It's not too hard to do that. But it also gives a whole new importance to the song, or like a continued importance, I think. It's not just that that she knows everything about them, but that they know everything about her. Well, it's, and that's also just as
it's
important.
A balanced relationship. She's singing, yes. I'm only me when I'm with you. Also, this person is only them when they're with her. And that is what makes a beautiful relationship.
Yeah.
Is
yeah,
when you're both yourselves together with yes. each other.
Yes. And you know everything about me. You say that you can't live without me. So we had another chorus. There are no twists there. We're going to move into a bridge.
I hate this bridge.
I just want to be honest and say, not just Taylor, almost all songs, I think I just hate bridges of songs.
Whoa. That was revelatory.
Okay, this podcast is canceled.
Rachel and I love a bridge. Taylor Swift okay. loves a bridge. What? Can you go into detail
about
that?
You know what, that? Sam, this is why she doesn't love a bridge, because I don't think there's any very many good debut bridges. And that, excuse me.
Self-titled
bridges.
They're really This is not just aren't. About It goes yeah. deeper than that. So like a lot of deeper. Songs, you yeah. don't like bridges.
But this,
yeah, okay. but
you don't have to.
I don't like it in the mixology, the musical part. The lyrics part of this, I don't mind.
Well, that's why okay. we love bridges is because of, okay. usually because of the lyrical moment.
Natalie, I need to Sam to show you a video when we finish this podcast, because I saw this video shortly after, as I was discovering Taylor Swift in my discovery. And this is her talking about how she wrote the song Lover. And this is actually Jack Antonoff, the producer, explaining the importance of a bridge.
I understand it in like a music theory. I did go to school with a piano scholarship, if you can believe that.
Oh, yeah, she's a very skilled pianist. I might have to ask.
Used to
be. I believe that.
But, so I understand it from, like, I get it. I think I like a key change more than I like a bridge.
Love a key change.
Love a key change.
Mm.
Key chains are great.
I don't love this bridge because lyrically it is not great.
Oh, I like the lyrics.
Wait, whoa, we are so on different pages right yeah. now. Rachel, where do you stand?
I did think this was really important, what she was saying, but I didn't think it told us anything different.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a summary of the song. Yeah, it's not
Yeah, well, we need something different in a bridge. We need
It's called a bridge because it connects.
It's a bridge because it takes you out of where you just were, so that when you go back in, you're like, oh, I'm back, because it's different.
Yeah, and this doesn't do that,
Not
does it?
The lyrics
it doesn't
don't.
Do it. I'm with anybody else. It's so hard to be myself. Only you can sell. But what this song does have is a good outro. I really enjoy the outro.
This isn't really an outro, though.
Well, what's the definition of an outro?
An outro, to me... is again a different element of the song that we
haven't
ever seen.
So this is different because she slows down and stops in the middle of the
sure.
chorus
uh-huh.
and changes it up.
Oh,
she says,
okay.
"I'm only me.
Yeah.
Who I wanna be."
Okay.
And
yes.
that like change, I think, is really crucial.
No, you're right. I didn't
like,
catch on to that.
I'm only me, and actually, I like who this is. Like, I like who I am with you. I think that's the first time we really like. Got that in this song?
Mm-hmm.
And who like, I want to be. Something.
Want to be. Yeah, like you're making me better.
Yes, that's... Which again...
Or you're making me who I want to be. I don't know if better. I don't like when people make you better. I don't know.
Right, I was going to say there's part of me that can be critical of that. But then again, you know, as I'm going through the world searching for any type of relationship, whether it's romantic or more friends, you want someone who... challenges you in the right ways, who yeah you want someone who brings something different to the table, that shows a part of you that maybe you wouldn't have discovered or opened that door yourself. And I love that line, who I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think if taken in, again, not the codependency way, but
yeah
an authentic way, I think it's very beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful. I would agree with that, Natalie.
I'm only me, who I wanna be. Well, I'm only me when
Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers from afar.
Amazing. Great analysis, everybody.
Excellent. All right. Well, Sam, everything I need of this song has been right here by my side with my cocktail, my brother, Natalie. This was so fun. Natalie, thank you so much. First of all, shout out to you.
Yeah, you get a shout out.
Thank you for bringing your self-titled knowledge. I'm really working on that. Okay. Thank you for bringing your self-titled knowledge into this conversation.
Oh, thanks for having
me. This was great.
Thank you, Natalie.
Now, I feel I know everything about you and your history with Taylor Swift. What we don't know everything about, Sam, is an album that is coming up in like a few weeks.
Well, yeah, and when this episode
when this
posts,
podcast airs, this next week. We are two weeks.
No, dude, it's next week.
1 week. Well, we are currently right? 2 weeks away as this is coming out. That means next week we need to discuss everything
right.
that we know up to this point.
Yes.
About TS11, otherwise titled T Dizzo T Dizzo P Dizzo.
That's not what anyone's calling it.
What have you been calling it?
Tizzle, tizzle, pizzle, dizzle.
Tizzle, tizzle, pee, dizzle. That's
but you can call it everyone.
Tizzle, tizzle, pee, dizzle. All right.
So yes, Rachel. Let's do it. If that's what you're getting at, we will not be doing a Taylor Swift song next week, per se. But instead, we will be having a very special tea time, Taylor tea time episode, where you and I will be sitting down and we will be sharing our thoughts and our theories and our anticipations for the forthcoming album, The Tortured Poets Department, also known as
Tizzo Tizzo P Dizzo.
Very good.
Or The Tortured Poets
that's
Department.
That's the one. Yes, that's amazing. Until then, Rachel, be sure, everybody, to follow along with everything Swift and Switch with Sibs podcast outside of listening to us by tuning into our Instagram account and our TikTok account at Swift and Swigs Podcast. If you want to send us an email to swiftandswigspodcast@gmail.com, maybe you could share with us a future song that you think we should get into, some new shit we might be vibing well with. And then, of course, tune into our show notes at it's the Fernet, I tell you one thing. That would be www.swiftandswigspod.substack.com, where we will be posting all three of our cocktail recipes. Natalie, thank you so much for being a special guest on today's episode.
I hope you had so much fun.
It's always good to be in the presence of an OG. Self-titled, not debut, Swiftie. So thank you, and thank you for sharing all of your enlightening thoughts. Who knew it would get this deep for, you know?
We knew. We knew. We say that every week, Sam.
We do it all the time. Yeah, clink, clink, everybody.
All right.
Thanks, y'all.
Clink, clink.
That episode was fun.
That was fun.
It's fun, isn't it?